had its way with them, and yet he could never remember throwing away a portion uneaten. He liked his beer, all right. That was a given. But even more than that, he liked to eat. Dover Sole in one of New York's finer restaurants was great, but if he was sitting up and watching the Mets on TV, a bag of Doritos with some clam dip on the side would do. The physical fitness programs would last maybe a week, and then his work schedule would interfere, or he would simply lose interest. In the basement, a set of weights sat brooding in a corner, gathering cobwebs and rust. They seemed to reproach him every time he went down. He tried not to look at them. So he would suck in his gut even more than usual and announce boldly to Heidi that he had lost 12 pounds and was down to 236. And she would nod and tell him that she was very glad. Of course she could see the difference. And all the time she would know, because she saw the empty Doritos bag, or bags, in the trash. And since Connecticut had adopted a returnable bottle and can law, the empties in the pantry had become a source of guilt almost as great as the unused weights. She saw him when he was sleeping. Even worse, she saw him when he was peeing. You couldn't suck in your gut when you were taking a piss. He had tried, and it just wasn't possible. She knew he had lost 3 pounds, 4 at most. You could fool your wife about another woman, at least for a while, but not about your weight. A woman who bore that weight from time to time in the night knew what you weighed. But she smiled and said, "Of course you look better, dear." Part of it was maybe not so admirable. It kept him quiet about her cigarettes. But he was not fooled into believing that that was all of it, or even most of it. It was a way of letting him keep his self-respect. "Billy?"
"What?"
Jerked back from sleep a second time, he glanced over at her, a little amused, a little irritated. "Do you feel quite well?"
I feel fine. What's this "do you feel quite well" stuff?
"Well, sometimes they say an unplanned weight loss can be a sign of something."
"I feel great, and if you don't let me go to sleep, I'll prove it by jumping your bones again."
"Go ahead," he groaned. She laughed. Soon enough, they slept. And in his dream, he and Heidi were coming back from the Shop and Save. Only he knew it was a dream this time. He knew what was going to happen, and he wanted to tell her to stop what she was doing, that he had to concentrate all his attention on his driving, because pretty soon an old gypsy woman was going to dart out from between two parked cars, from between a yellow Subaru and a dark green Firebird, to be exact. And this old woman was going to have a child's five-and-dime plastic barrettes in her graying, grizzled hair, and she was not going to be looking anywhere but straight ahead. He wanted to tell Heidi that this was his chance to take it all back, to change it, to make it right. But he couldn't speak. The pleasure woke again at the touch of her fingers, playful at first, then more serious. His penis stiffened as he slept, and he turned his head slightly at the metallic clicking sound of his zipper going down notch by notch. The pleasure mixed uneasily with a feeling of terrible inevitability. Now he saw the yellow Subaru ahead, parked behind the green Firebird with the white racing stripe, and from between them a flash of pagan color brighter and more vital than any paint job sprayed on in Detroit or the Toyota Village. He tried to scream, "Quit it, Heidi! It's her! I'm going to kill her again if you don't quit it! Please, God, no! Please, good Christ, no!" But the figure stepped out between the two cars. Halleck was trying to get his foot off the gas pedal and put it on the brake, but it seemed to be stuck right where it was, held down with a dreadful, irrevocable firmness. The crazy glue of inevitability, he thought, wildly, trying to turn the wheel, but the wheel wouldn't turn either. The wheel was locked and blocked, so he tried to brace himself for the crash, and then the gypsy's head turned, and it wasn't the old woman. Oh, no, it was the gypsy man with the rotted nose. Only now his eyes were gone. In the instant before the old struck him and bore him under, Halleck saw the empty staring sockets. The old gypsy man's lips spread in an obscene grin, an ancient crescent below the rotted horror of his nose. Then, thud, thud.
one hand flailing limply up above the old's hood, heavily wrinkled, dressed in pagan rings of beaten metal. 3 drops of blood splattered the windshield. Halleck was vaguely aware that Heidi's hand had clenched agonizingly on his erection, retaining the orgasm that shock had brought on, creating a sudden, dreadful pleasure pain. And he heard the gypsy's whisper from somewhere underneath him, drifting up through the carpeted floor of the expensive car, muffled but clear enough.
Thinner.
He came awake with a jerk, turned toward the window, and almost screamed. The moon was a brilliant crescent above the Catskills, and for a moment he thought it was the old gypsy man, his head cocked slightly to the side, peering into their window, his eyes 2 brilliant stars in the blackness of the sky over upstate New York. His grin, lit somehow from within, the light spilling out cold like the light from a mason jar filled with August fireflies, cold like the swamp fellas he had sometimes seen as a boy in North Carolina. Old, cold light, a moon in the shape of an ancient grin, one which contemplates revenge. Billy drew in a shaky breath, closed his eyes tight, then opened them again. The moon was just the moon again. He lay down and was asleep 3 minutes later. The new day was bright and clear, and Halleck finally gave in and agreed to climb the Labyrinth Trail with his wife. Mohonk's grounds were laced with hiking trails rated from easy to extremely difficult. Labyrinth was rated moderate, and on their honeymoon he and Heidi had climbed it twice. He remembered how much pleasure that had given him, working his way up the steep defiles with Heidi right behind him, laughing and telling him to hurry up, Slowpoke. He remembered worming through one of the narrow, cave-like passages in the rock and whispering ominously to his new wife, "Do you feel the ground shaking?" when they were in the narrowest part. It had been narrow, but she had still managed to give his butt a pretty good swat. Halleck would admit to himself, but never, never to Heidi, that it was those narrow passages through the rock that worried him now. On their honeymoon he had been slim and trim, only a kid, still in good shape from summers spent on a logging crew in western Massachusetts. Now he was 16 years older, and a lot heavier. And as jolly old Dr. Houston had so kindly informed him, he was entering heart attack country. The idea of having a heart attack halfway up the mountain was uncomfortable, but still fairly remote. What seemed more possible to him was getting stuck in one of those narrow stone throats